WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest Vivian Stern has written a new book about prisons around the world. She says she wants to examine who ends up in the prisons of the world and who works in them, and she wants to expose the waste, the horror, and the heroism within the growing incarceration business. Stern is senior research fellow at the International Center for Prison Studies at King's College in England and secretary general of Penal Reform International. She lives in London. I asked her to compare the prison rates in America to the prison rates in European democracies.
The way we measure imprisonment rates in our world is per 100,000 of the population. So we look at everybody's imprisonment rate in relation to that. And of course, in those terms, the United States is in an extraordinary position. The average for the Western European democracies is about 80, maybe 80 to 90. And in the United States, we're talking about 645 per 100,000, which is, of course, the second highest in the world after Russia. And Russia, being a European country and now a member of the Council of Europe, is working very hard to bring its prison population down and has started reductions, whereas in the United States so far, for the last 20 years, we've seen a steady increase every year, and it's still running at 5% per year increase.
Of all the prisons that you toured in your travels around the world, which did you consider the most effective and humane?
Africa, for instance, is very interesting. Because in Africa, of course, prison was not part of the culture. And an African who's had a crime committed against him or her doesn't think, right, I want that person to suffer. I want the person to go to prison. They think, right, I need some redress. I'm entitled to something back for this, and I'm entitled to some recompense for this affront to my dignity or my family or my property. And what's the use of prison? If the person goes away, I've got nothing, and probably the person's wife and family are left here, and somebody's got to do their bit to help them to survive. So I think basically, if you go to prisons in Africa, you do see a very different attitude between staff and prisoners. I'm not saying that Africa doesn't have its share of brutality, because you only have to think of what's happened there in the last few years. But in terms of imprisonment, you will see a prison where staff and prisoners are very considerate of each other, where there's hardly any security at all, where you can have five staff and 900 prisoners and no fear and no atmosphere and no tension. So in a sense, in terms of relationships, prisons in Africa have got something to teach us. In terms of concern for prisoners' rights, I think you want to look at some of the countries in Western Europe, like Scandinavia, where prisoners are entitled to complain and where there are quite a high level of protections. But I have to say that overall in the world, it's very difficult to maintain humanity in a setting where one group of people have been given complete power over another group of people.
I'm surprised to hear you say that you saw good things in African prisons. I would have thought, though, that a lot of the prisons were the outgrowths of the colonial system and that there were very, very problematic power relationships being expressed inside.
That doesn't seem to be the case. The buildings are left over from the colonists. The uniforms, they often look like British. The rules of the prison were written 40, 50 years ago by the British. But the way the prisons are run is much more in accordance with African ideas that, in a sense, if people are their brothers, then they're their brothers, and they would treat them as such. And there is a concern to get the prisoners fed. And there is an absence of violence, there's an absence of hatred, and there seems to be a mutual respect. In many countries of the world, the staff look down on the prisoners. They don't necessarily despise them, they look down on them. Certainly in Africa, you get a feeling of, this could have been me, this unfortunate person who's ended up in prison could easily have been me. And there isn't that sense of hatred and contempt that you see in other parts of the world.
I think in the United States, a lot of prisons have come to be seen as schools for crime, where you could, in other words, go in for a petty crime and end up being really educated in how to commit more violent, high-powered crimes. Is that a typical feeling in other countries, that prisons are schools for crimes?
The institution of prison is a very strange one, if you begin to think about it. We want people to stop being criminals, so we send them to a place where all the other people are criminals. And we expect out of that experience them to learn not to be criminals. But of course, what happens is the opposite. A subculture is created, not only a criminal subculture, but also in a sense a victim subculture. All of us in here are poor things. We are all victims. We didn't really do what they said we did. So it creates certainly a school for crime, and in a sense what's worse is the denial of the fact that you did something wrong. That is what prison cultivates, and one of the reasons why I think it's an institution we should start be asking some questions about. Is this really how we want to deal with people who've committed crime? Because in a sense, it imposes enormous suffering in one way, but another way, it lets them off the hook.
Lets them off the hook how?
They never have to think about their victim. They are, in a sense, absolved from having to make any redress to the victim, because the saying goes, once you've done your prison sentence, you have paid your debt to society. So it lets people off the hook in beginning to think about who they are, what they did, why are they the sort of person that did what they did, and do they want to live the rest of their lives like this? None of that goes on in prison.
Have you seen in any of the countries that you've toured and studied any good alternatives to prison for offenders?
There are many ways in which you can deal with crime other than prison. And certainly all that prison really does is protect you from people who are dangerous and who might go on doing it again. But it doesn't solve anything. So I think what we need to look at is those alternatives that try and solve the problem and which try and do something for the victim. New Zealand is a very interesting case where they have been drawing on the culture of the indigenous people in New Zealand, that is Maori people, who have always felt that with crime there should be restoration to the victim, redress, and an attempt to awake in the offender a sense of conscience and a sense of shame. And certainly with all their young people now, they have a system called family group conferencing, where the young offender is brought face to face with a large number of people with an interest, the victim, victim's family, the offender's family, people from the community, to talk about what sort of a young person you are, why did you do it, how could you have done such a thing, and try and educate in the best sense into sympathising with another person and then doing something over many weeks, perhaps, to make up to the victim for what they've done.
Well, Vivian Stern, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Vivian Stern is the author of A Sin Against the Future, Imprisonment in the World.